All right, Jonathan, tell us a little bit about this vampire, if you would.
Okay, well, this is a very complex story, and I'm going to have to give you a shortened version of it. If people
All
want
right.
the full version, it's in my essay, Mind Parasites, Energy Parasites, Vampires, on the website for free, or they can get the CD audio set I've just been just produced called the Mind Parasite Matrix, where there's an even fuller description of this episode. But cutting out some of the history, I knew a very young couple in my travels. They were both very charismatic and very good-looking. And I didn't see them for about a year, and then I came across the young woman, who's well, mm-hmm. called Sapphire, pseudonym.
Sapphire,
just sort of came up with an essay for whatever reasons, but it was very exotically beautiful, sort of racially unidentifiable, and after I hadn't seen her for a year, there was an amazing transformation. She'd become a much more open person. She seemed like a borderline personality type who, was just pathologically shy, the year before, and so we had a couple of very good talks, and then a couple of weeks later, I hadn't seen the male part of this duo, whose name was Nicholas, yet, but a couple of weeks later, I get a phone call, and it's from Nicholas, and Sapphire is about to go off to another country with another guy after they had been together for 3.5 years.
And breaks his heart, no doubt, right?
Right, so he's totally heartbroken. He asked if he could come over and talk to me and get an I Ching reading, something I do for people, and of course, I said yes. At the time, I was traveling, and I was in a small RV. But I said, yeah, come over, and I'll make some tea, and we'll talk about it. And so we did a couple of I Ching readings. We talked about it. And then suddenly he said, like, okay, I'm talked out about this. I've been talking to everybody. I know about this all day. I'd like to change the subject. And I'm like, okay, go ahead. And he says, I think I'm a vampire. I'm like, well, what do you mean? And he said, well, I feed off of other people's energy. I said, well, can you give me an example? And he said, well, you. Ever since I've known you, I've fed off of your energy, and there's even been a sexual undercurrent to it, which seemed to come totally out of left field.
Yeah, I would guess so, yeah.
Right, I had no inkling of that whatsoever, and I'm like, well, what do you mean by that? Everybody feeds off of each other energy to some extent, and I was basically making a classic mistake, which I've done before, which is I was being overly sympathetic and not really taking what he was saying seriously enough. I thought, like, oh, he's traumatized, this is low self-esteem, blah, blah, blah. I was just falling into pop psychology in my own mind and not heeding a very specific warning. And anyway, we talked some more about a variety of different things. He told me a lot of history of his life I didn't know before, about how he'd been very promiscuous, he'd been abandoned by his parents. He had a very strange history that you wouldn't have guessed to look at him because he was always perfectly groomed and seemed very polished, but he had actually come from a very violent background and had been very violent himself as well, as he confessed with some shame. Anyway, this talk went well into the night, and suddenly he realized that the buses that would take him back to the town where he lived had stopped, and he had no place to go, and it was an extremely cold and windy night, and he asked if he could stay on my RV. And of course, I had to say yes, and I had a sleeping loft that could easily have slept three people. So I said, look, go take the far end of the loft, and I'll take the near side when I get up there, because I wanted him to go to sleep first, because I'm a dreamer, and I have dream recall. The price I pay for that is being a super light sleeper, so unless everybody else is asleep, I can't go to sleep.
Well, plus he also said he was interested in you, so you definitely wanted him to go to sleep.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Right. So anyway, he seemed to fall asleep immediately, and I collected my thoughts and so forth, and then I got up in the sleeping loft, and I took the far near side to give as much personal space as possible. Well, I was lying there for a couple of minutes, and then he seemed to roll over while he was asleep so that three parts of his body were just slightly touching mine, his toes, his knees, and his forehead. And I'm like, well, it's a little uncomfortable, but I don't want to wake this guy up. He's had such a traumatic day, and so forth. And so eventually I fall asleep. Well, sometime in the middle of the night, some kind of internal warning system woke me wide, wide awake in just a splintered moment. And what I experienced was one of the most shocking and anomalous things I've ever experienced. What I experienced was this massive energy transfer coming out of me and into him. something was siphoning out so much energy from me that I felt if this continued for even a few more heartbeats, I wouldn't be able to resist it. I don't even know if I would be me anymore. And at the same time, and these are going to sound like a sequence of perceptions, but it was sort of like one of those moments where, you know, there's a multi-layered simultaneity of like many different perceptions. I was aware of another entity up on the loft with us. It seemed to be a dark rotating cloud, lenticular in shape, like a spiral galaxy, like a double convex lens shape, that it was rotating. And I sensed that it was supervising this energy transfer in some way. And as I became more aware, and my will to resist seemed to emerge like, you know, a sword pulled out of a sheath, because I'm suddenly aware that, you know, something is trying to, like, take all my energy away, and I'm gathering my will, and at the same time, my mind is coming alive, because I'm like, I've been studying mind parasites, and like, wow, now I'm seeing something, you know, really happening, and that took me out of the fear aspect. And so my energy was no longer burning at a temperature, I believe at least, of course this is all speculative, that this organism could feed off of. And then it made a kind of very weird sound, a sound that I can't possibly reproduce or describe, but the meaning of it was completely clear at the moment. It was the sound of a hungry animal interrupted in its feeding. It was a sound of like deep frustration. And at that moment, the entity vanished, the energy transfer stopped, and it was just the two of us lying on the sleeping loft. Well, I laid awake for a while. There was no longer any feeling of a threat. I just stayed awake to make sure nothing else was going to happen and to just indelibly imprint this experience into my memory. The next morning, when he woke up, I told Nicholas about what had happened, and he didn't seem the least bit surprised. And he reminded me that he had told me the day before that he was a vampire. I certainly can't say he pulled the wool over my eyes. And we parted on good terms, and I've never seen him since.
Could that be a reason why he broke up with this girl, because she couldn't, you know, stand it anymore?
Well, he thought so. That was one of the things that he said, that train of the conversation led to, is he wondered if maybe that was why she wasn't staying with him. But on the other hand, and she also confirmed this, because this is one of the strange twist of this case, he had a tremendously positive effect on her. And he was in many ways a very talented and charismatic person. So I see him as a victim. He according to his own testimony, he may have been abused as a child by his own father when between ages 1 through 4, which he has no memory. It seemed plausible in his case. There was no like incest survivor self-pity in him. It just seemed like he may have been right about that. And it led to very self-destructive, promiscuous behavior. And he may have been infected with something and not been fully in control of what was going on.